Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host, Lily Nadu-Mensah, and today I have none other but the fabulous, fabulous, and very enthusiastic business owner. Her name is Maggie Safo. Hello, Maggie, and thank you for agreeing to come on the Magic Sofa. How are you today?
I'm very well, Lily. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here today.
Great. I'm excited too. So it makes two of us in the room. What's your favorite tea?
Guess what? I'm having chamomile with a bit of honey in it.
Okay.
I tend to drink more infusions than teas. I guess the infusions are also teas. So yeah.
My favorite
these days is chamomile tea. Yes.
Doesn't that make you feel sleepy? Because
no, it doesn't. That's interesting. Well, that's really interesting because I remember my partner used to say, chamomile is what you take when you need to calm down.
Yeah, it's true. I do. I have chamomile of an evening.
Ah, interesting. Well, I don't know. Yeah, well, it works for me, so I drink it even in the daytime, and it works. Obviously, I'm shouting, so I'm not sleepy yet.
Well, that's good, because I need my caffeine to wake me up in the morning and keep me going during the day.
Yeah.
But from what I can see, you have your own natural caffeine thing going on. You don't need anyone to wake you up.
Probably. It sounds like that. At the times, I do go for a hot chocolate.
Okay.
And then I put a bit of coffee in it, my own kind of mocha thing. And that works really well as well.
Oh, that is something. I'm going to write this down. Hot chocolate and a bit of coffee. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So before we get going, let's hear a little bit about the brand named Maggie Safo. Maggie is a passionate author, speaker, and advisor for inspirational business leaders, entrepreneurs and professionals with a special interest in women in business, technology, B2B and high growth companies embarking on ambitious growth strategies and people transformation. She's done this for over 17 years and it's still counting. Maggie is the CEO of Marais Consult Limited and regional director of Athena Network, City of London. She takes a personal interest in ensuring that every business she works with is hugely profitable. We will learn some more about Maggie in a wee while. In the meantime, a bit about this program. Tea with Lily is a space for informal discussions with a relaxed format where we chat about topical issues over a cup of tea or mocha or whatever. And guests from all walks of life join me to share their experiences and provide tips and tricks for professionals and entrepreneurs interested in career and personal growth. So back to you, Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you do what you do as a business, business and personal growth consultant?
Well, I guess a part of it has always been natural or innate.
Okay.
So just taking you a step back, when I finished uni, when I was growing up, I actually studied French and English for my first degree.
Oh. And
those were the days I used to think I was going to work for the UN, the United Nations. And then when I finished uni, my first role was with a university library in the HR department.
Okay.
We used to call it personnel department at that time.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And they offered for me to go and do a master's in public administration. And that's when I kind of had a jolt and realized that I wasn't as passionate about public administration as I was about business.
Yeah.
I was always very intrigued about, you know, businesses and how they work. And I was always looking, you know, right from an early age, I always looked for an opportunity to, you know, do this here and there and get paid for it, that kind of thing. So then I then moved on from there to do a master's in business administration. And since then, I've been kind of consulting, but focused on growth all the time.
Okay.
Even found myself, you know, moving into sales and sales leadership and okay. then putting an HR angle on it, because I think for every business to grow, the person behind it is so important.
Yeah.
And more often than not, we find that the level at which a person is willing to grow equates to the level at which their business is willing to grow as well. So,
yeah.
So that's why I do what I do. I'm passionate about how businesses grow and the people behind the businesses that make this happen.
That's fantastic. I want to go back one a little bit. I think I understand what business administration means, but what is public administration?
So I believe it's the equivalent of business administration, basically. So organizations who don't run as a profitable business.
Okay.
So like, as I said, this was in the university.
Okay.
So any kind of third sector organization or public body that doesn't necessarily work for business, the best qualification for them in terms of helping them grow is normally public administration.
Oh, I always find that these interviews bring a lot of knowledge for me as well, because every guest has something different. Mm-hmm. So now I know what public administration means. I'm taking notes here. Where's my pen? I'll have to write notes somewhere. But so public administration and hot chocolate and
a bit of coffee.
Oh, Maggie. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what you mentioned about the university, and but give us a little bit about your background in terms of, you know, you've done all of this over 17 years. So give us some idea in terms of how, you know, the places you've worked and how that has helped what you're mm-hmm. doing today.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So moving on from there, I, as I said, I've been working in kind of business, working mainly with the leaders within businesses. So if it's a small one, sometimes a managing director, but I've worked with large organizations as well. And what I actually realized is over the years, my career has moved from a bigger company to a very small one, to a bigger one, to a small one, and I had not planned it. So one of the big organizations earlier on was WPP, which is a big media, global media company, research and stuff like that. And those were the days where I got the opportunity to work and advise on brands like the Coca-Cola, you know, leading a team to do some customer research for them, that kind of thing.
Wow.
After a while, I felt I needed to take my skills from the large environment into a smaller one. Mm-hmm. And so I went to work for an organization in West London called the Park Royal Partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a very interesting organization because it was partly public funded or European funded and then partly private. And if anyone is familiar with the Park Royal area, then you would also probably know that it's got a lot of businesses. So Park Royal has about 2,000 businesses.
Okay.
And is reputed to be the largest industrial estate in Europe. So I went on to manage their membership organization. So getting businesses together to network, to do business, to have opportunities to intertrade with each other. And these were bigger businesses as well as large organizations like the Diageo's and the Carrefour Warehouse.
Okay.
I even had the opportunity to do some mentoring programs for them. So taking a director from, say, the Carrefour Warehouse or the Diageo and linking them closely with a smaller, you know, managing director for a food and drink business so they can learn off each other and mentor this business, that kind of thing. And then from there, I thought I had taken the business to a level where, you know, it could grow a bit faster on their own. So I was looking for something new and I went into IT. So I then went to work for the number one analyst firm, or analyst and consulting firm when it comes to technology. So there's an organization called Gartner. It's a US headquartered company, but I went to work for their European head office in Egham.
Okay.
And I was looking after software companies, both in the UK, Ireland, and with a global reach into US and Asia Pac and other places. Had the opportunity to lead a team as well, and then moved on. So I did that for nearly 5 years, and then I was moving into a phase where I felt that what I necessarily wanted to do, or how I wanted to work with my clients, wasn't something I was necessarily able to do within the structures and confines of a big organization.
So
that's when I had an aha moment somewhere around 2010, I believe. And then I kind of questioned myself, am I living to my purpose, you know, in terms of what
I recognize that so well.
And so I then set off to set up my own business, focused around what I know to do best. So, you know, business and personal growth. I've always loved, you know, getting closer to people and building deeper relationships. And you know, all the big sales deals that I've made was because I got closer to my client more than anything else. So I set up my business, and then I then contracted myself to another small organization. So you see the pattern from big to small. And I said to myself, I will give this organization 2 years and that's it. That's it. You know, I would just jump the ship and just do just my own business. But 18 months later, it did not feel like, you know, I was going to go any further with this small organization. So then I decided to just come out and do my own stuff. Okay. And so that's what I'm doing. Just, you know, working with businesses very similar to, you know, the ones I've worked with, but I'm also very open. So naturally, I work with businesses on a global level. Like, I have clients in Copenhagen, I have clients in Australia. It just happens, because I think, you know, when we are open to looking at the business in a way that makes sense to us, opportunities come in a way that forms your own kind of business model, even whether that's or not. So that's it. And then, you know, towards the end of last year, 2017, I had joined the Athena Network, which is a women in business network, a premium business network. And I was going around doing some talks about, you know, crafting, you know, profitable strategies for your business. And then I had the opportunity to come and lead the City of London group. So that was a great opportunity that I jumped in for. And since the start of this year, I've also been leading a very amazing group of ladies based in the City of London, or who choose to come and network in the City of London.
It's amazing. And I've seen you at play and at work. And it seems very natural to you. It comes very naturally to you. I'm always going back to you. So just this one is just a bit of gossip. Did you ever meet Sir Martin Sorrell at WP?
I did not. That is so interesting to ask, because, and the funny thing is, you know how WPP is. It's got so many different companies and they keep merging and changing their names and adding more. And so even for myself, I've worked with the British Market Research Bureau. Actually, it started in Hull because I went to do my MBA in Hull. And so I started working with Millward Brown at that time in Hull. And then I came back to London in Ealing, worked for the British Market Research Bureau. We merged with the TNS. There was a takeover at some point. But every time, at some point, I guess because my work with WPP became a bit more part-time than full-time, then, you know, I was working with them more in the weekends and evenings. And then every time, you know, big things like this was happening, like Martin was coming to an office and I wasn't there. but then it was clear that he was coming, and, you know how it works in the corporate world. Everyone gets to behave really well for them to arrive. So,
I have to ask that question. Sorry?
Yeah, I did follow him on LinkedIn. So, yes, so who knows, one day I'll get to meet him.
Who knows? Well, he hasn't had a lot of good press lately, so I'm sure it will all work out one way or the other, and I wish him well. You seem to have done so much already, and I'm not quite sure where to start, but sort of give us, in a nutshell, What are the things that you do, or one thing that you do well, and what is the secret?
One thing I do well, which I've kind of hinted as well, is forming deeper relationships. And the reason why I strongly believe that part of that is innate in my nature. Mm. I don't understand why I should do things on a shallow level. So if I don't get to know people well, it gets a bit challenging to kind of take that relationship to the next level, so to speak, even when it's a relationship. But that has served me so well as well. So to the extent that I used to have a client who used to spend 35k with my company, and everyone was saying that's the maximum they're going to spend, and I looked at the profiles like, that is a big company, surely they could give us more. And I formed some really deep relationships with the person I was working with in that company, and they introduced me to so many others. Within 12 months I had come up with them spending about 120k with me. And I've written an ebook on that, because I think it's important for us to understand the impact that deep and genuine relationships can have in all aspects of our lives.
What's the title of the ebook?
I've called it The Evolution of the Buyer, 4 Steps to 6 Times Your Client Spend, The Evolution of the Buyer, and I'm more than happy to share the link at some point as well.
That'll be great, because I'm sure some of the listeners, or I want to know, certainly I want to know, so maybe for personal reasons. So thank you for sharing that. Now the fun question, if you were sitting, this is my fun question that everybody gets, imagine you're sitting in front of a careers officer, a 16-year-old school leaver, you're about to leave school, and you're sitting there, looking back, what would you have said to that person if they said to you, Safo, you know how they go with your last name?
Yes.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
What do I want to be when I grow up? So is this the advice I'm giving to this person who is the 16-year-old me, or?
No, or what you would have said you wanted to be back in the day.
Oh, back in the days. That's what I said. I used to say I'm still working for the UN.
You want to work for the UN. Okay. Right. Yeah. I like that. So international global reach and everything. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to say what Maggie says is her mantra. I am who I am. What's behind that quote?
What's behind that quote is everything, basically. I think sometimes we look outside for the things we're looking at, we're looking for, but these things are inside of us. So I am who I am, basically, is everything that I will to be, I know I'm capable of doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
And so then I go for it without any perceived, you know, this is not going to happen because.
Yeah.
Because when I say I am who I am, then it's me, you know, moving out of my external world and going into my internal world. And within my internal world, everything is possible.
Amen. I love that. Maggie, give us a little an idea of the profile of your typical client.
So a typical client for me is a successful business leader or entrepreneur. They may be in the technology B2B or a high growth company. But they are ambitious, and for them they're going for ambitious growth strategies or people transformation. So people who may be really successful, but they're looking to take a next step into a big phase in their lives, sometimes they may need someone to come and help them unlock that phase. And normally that would be me.
So it could be an entrepreneur. It could be like middle management, somebody who wants to get to the next level. So they don't have to be self-employed.
They don't have to be, yes. So they could be in a company, or they can be an entrepreneur. A big a big typical client for me as well, just singling out the women in business category, mm-hmm. is a woman, an inspirational woman looking for business and personal growth opportunities. So again, I have a big soft spot for, you know, women who are inspirational and looking for the opportunity for their big breakthrough in business and personal growth.
Okay. Thank you for that. I shall look out for that and I will send them your way.
Thank you very much.
You've done quite a lot, and I'm sure, you know, we've talked about that. What are the couple of career highlights for you?
So for me, it's about being a global citizen. So, I mean, especially, you know, in my role in Gartner, you know, that's when I realized that there was so much that we could do if only we put our minds to it and we looked for the right opportunities. So I have been a global citizen for that matter, combining work and pleasure. So winning trips to Maui, Hawaii, Miami, parts of California, Vegas, and Monte Carlo.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. You're definitely a global citizen if you've done all that. So, you know, you talk about going away and traveling the world and being a global holiday, global citizen. Is that all work, or, you know, it can't really be work all the time?
Oh, no. No, well, I do like to have fun. I do like to have fun. So for me, it's about beach holidays. In an ideal world, I'll have 6 beach holidays and beach homes. And these beach homes are scattered across the continents.
I like that.
And I get a lot of inspiration doing that as well. So for me, it's partying and going on beach holidays, you know, socializing with the right kind of people. As long as there's music, dancing, I am there straight in.
Okay.
Or, you know, maybe come and just get inspired to do some great things as well.
So let's go back to the dancing and the music. What's your favorite music?
My favorite music is dance music. So normally any kind of good music that helps you move your body, I'm in there. R&B normally does the trick for me, but apart from that, any dancing tunes, yes, that's me.
Cool. And in terms of dancing, any particular one? I mean, I love Zumba, so, you know, yeah.
So I do like to freestyle a lot, but any kind of dancing that involves winding down is normally me. I also learned to dance salsa, so I love salsa because, you know, it steps, and I like the sensuality that comes with it and the way the communication between the man and the woman. So salsa is a great one. I do love dancing Zumba, but because every time I've been in a Zumba class, it had felt like I am in, because I normally go to my gym to do Zumba, I hadn't looked at it that way, but yes.
Okay.
But it's very similar to those kind of salsa dancing, isn't it? So yeah.
Well, there's salsa and Zumba. It's just a whole mishmash of, you know, dance music and South Hispanic kind of thing. So Maggie, my screen is frozen right
now.
Okay, it's come back. Where are we? I had a question to ask you. It's completely gone. And I'm sure it has something to do with dancing. Where am I?
It will come.
I'm sure it will come.
Yes.
So, So do you dance to Azonto and things like that?
I do. So, because I'm originally from Ghana, I do. I can't say I'm great at it. I wish I could.
That's the thing. You know,
when I freestyle and you ask me, so what are you dancing? Then I can say I'm freestyling.
Yeah, Zento was all the rage a couple of years ago. Yeah, and all the kids were, you know, twisting their fingers and clicking.
I love Zento, you know. So anything that brings the life in you to let your hair down and, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, we do these things and sometimes we think we just dancing, but actually, you know, we're freeing our spirit to express ourselves, and
yeah,
as a result, a lot of other good things happen. So yes, yeah.
Fantastic. And you just mentioned that you grew up in Ghana. Do you go back often?
Last time I was in Ghana was about 5 years ago. The plan is to go more often.
Okay, good.
Because I do have family visits more often than I go. So then if they're coming, then it's like, well, they're here. But I should really go because I would love to go and relax a lot more than I do now.
Oh, yes. And you know, sometimes I don't think going to Ghana is relaxing. Sometimes because of all the family members and stuff like
it's
that.
True.
But unless you go far away and grab a week's beach holiday somewhere, at Pram Pram or places like that, which is where I'm from.
Don't let anyone know you're there. Just go and hide for 2 weeks. After you've relaxed, then you can come back into the world.
Exactly. That is the plan. So most of us support charities often, you know, for personal reasons. Mm-hmm. Which charities do you support and why?
So I support the Arbonne Charitable Foundation.
Okay.
And this is a foundation that helps younger people, especially teenagers, to overcome challenges that they're facing so they can emerge into their adult lives much more confident. And as part of that, you know, they use their products like, you know, beauty, makeup, as well as just physically funding them, you know, to do things, supporting their education and other things. And I feel that teenage age or the ages between 10 and say 16 are so important because what happens at those during those ages can have a huge impact in the lives of people. And so the more we can, you know, lend a helping hand to help someone who is not having a great life during that stage of their lives, the better our chances of having a population of adults who are more connected to themselves and they don't have to keep going back to revisit things that did not work well for them during those teenage years.
That's interesting.
So I support the Arbonne Charitable Foundation.
Use their products, but I haven't used them for a long time. I came across Arbonne when I was living in the States many years ago.
And I do my own random acts of kindness, you know, because sometimes what we see, I believe sometimes what we see as charity sometimes go beyond the usual thing of let's sponsor this, let's sponsor that. Sometimes you come across genuine person who may not be your normal charity kind of target, but they may need that help. So I look for opportunities to help people who are helping themselves but actually may need that extra hand and they're not necessarily recognized as a charity, so people don't help them as much.
I totally get that. we've covered an awful lot. So Maggie, how can our listeners connect with you if they want further advice on being, you know, growing their businesses, growing their lives, getting connected and generally doing more and being more successful?
So it's easier for them to find me on LinkedIn as Margaret Saffo. So if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn as Margaret Saffo, I would love to, you know, connect with you and see how things go. Okay. I'm also on Facebook as Maggie Saffo, just to make things more interesting. And I'm also on Twitter as Meet Maggie Saffo. Otherwise, my blog, maggiesaffo.com, is where I have fun just writing and blogging about business and personal growth. So that's simply maggiesaffo.com.
Okay. We'll make sure that all these links are on there once we share the audio. So finally, what are your top three tips for living the life that you love?
Number one, live life to the fullest and impact others positively. Okay. Always remember that. Number two, live, love, and laugh. And number three, and I'm going to quote a very famous poet, Marianne Williamson, and she says, our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. So wow. Always remember that. You know, yeah. Your fear is not because you are inadequate. It's because you are powerful beyond measure. And once we overcome that fear, then the real us will come out.
Amazing. So, listeners, tip number one for a good life is live life to the fullest and make an impact on others positively. Tip number two, live, love, laugh. I think I actually have something like that on my bedroom wall. And a couple of, three pebbles with those things in there. I picked up, I can't remember where I picked that up from. And tip number three is that our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we are we're powerful beyond measure. And that's by Marianne Williamson. Thank you.
Thank you.
Those tips. So Maggie, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us and of course those wonderful tips. I wish you all the best in everything you do. And listeners, until next time, stand tall, talk straight, and above all, keep smiling. Maggie, all the best and take care.
Thank you, Lily. It's been a pleasure. And thank you, listeners.
Bye for now.